Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of most things culturally considered. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week, you'll be treated to a special live performance of Claude Debussy's Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp with an amazing trio of musicians from the Music at Menlo Festival here in the studio, flutist Tara Helen O'Connor, violist Paul Neubauer, and harpist Bridget Kibbe. I'll also be talking with Marilla opera artists Jacqueline Piccolino and Joseph Latanzi, who are the Countess and Count, respectively, in The Marriage of Figaro performances tonight and Saturday afternoon. And it's hard to believe that it is the beginning of a new month, but nonetheless, our top of the month feature with critic Joshua Cosman, who will share his classical music picks for the month ahead. Stay tuned. That's the music of Rossini and an excerpt from The Barber of Seville as sung by soprano Jacqueline Piccolino, who performs in a similarly themed opera, The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, on the same source material, by the way, by Pierre Beaumarchais, tonight and Saturday, with another Merolini, Joseph Latanzi. Now, for those unfamiliar with the term Merolini, it's a nickname for those select few singers who have gone through the rigorous audition process to be participants in the Merola Opera Program, which is dedicated to seeking out the finest young opera talent and helping those singers develop into professional artists of the highest caliber. Named after the San Francisco Opera's first general director, Gaetano Merola, the Merola Opera Program began during the 1954-55 season and has been going full tilt since. Around 800 hopefuls audition each year, a number that is winnowed down to a couple of dozen for the summer program. In spite of being a vocal program, the Merola Opera Program has been instrumental in the launching of future luminaries and Counts Susan Graham, Thomas Hampson, Patricia Rosette, Ruth Ann Swenson, and Deborah Voigt among its past participants. Joseph Latanzi, who hails from Mableton, Georgia, and Chicago native Jacqueline Piccolino, welcome to KLW.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are the leads as the Count and Countess, respectively, for performances tonight and Saturday afternoon of the Le Nozze di Figaro, which we'll talk about shortly. But first, I'd like you to share with us a bit about the audition process. How you got here? What is that process like? You're both returning participants. How did you first hear about the Merola Opera Program?
I heard about the Merola Opera Program through my teacher. She just told me, you know, I think this would be good for you, and I think you need to try and see. And I always thought, you know, oh my gosh, this is a huge goal. I don't think it's going to happen. And
well, first radio kudo, you have to give a shout out to your teacher.
Okay. Yes.
She'll thank you for that.
Cynthia Heyman is my teacher. Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, she just said, you know, I think you have what it takes for this program, and I think you can make great success there. And I think it really, I mean, it just kind of rocketed from there. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Joseph, it's a long way from Mableton, Georgia to San Francisco. How did you first hear about it?
It absolutely is. I grew up performing in a performing arts high school and being really involved in all sorts of performing arts and doing classical voice. And so I always knew of the Merola Opera Program, and I always knew it was one of the top tier programs, and so it was always a goal of mine to be a participant. When I was a young artist in the Seattle Opera program, that was the first time I auditioned. I flew down here, and a similar situation. I sort of thought it wasn't going to happen, and I thought, well, I'll go sing and see what happens. And I was pleasantly surprised to be accepted the first year.
Mm-hmm. The program offers training in musical style, interpretation, but also emphasis on role preparation, movement and acting, languages and diction, even breath work, and finally, performance. Now, though your respective resumes are already quite robust, I'm wondering, at this early stage in your operatic career, what's the biggest challenge you face personally in developing those many skills that lead you to the opera stage?
There are the list you just rattled off, of course, presents numerous, numerous challenges. There are so many things to think about when you're on stage and when you're singing and performing. I think as a young artist, it's really important to develop your technique early on, and that really sets up a good basis for your artistry through the rest of your career. So that's sort of what I've been focusing on, is trying to become the best singer I can be at this point in my life. I've been fortunate to attend a lot of prestigious programs and institutions, and so I've had a good background in language and diction and training, musical preparation, and things like that. And so really just trying to marry everything at once on stage into a dramatic portrayal of a role is probably it's a very challenging.
And how appropriate to be doing the marriage of Figaro, marry all that together.
Right. Exactly.
Jackie, how about you? What kind of challenges are you faced with this early on?
You know, when I just auditioned for Marilla, I was going into my senior year, actually, of college. And one thing that my teacher said, you know, you need to have a really good technique and to get into this program and to withstand all the things that it has. And I think that also starts off with also your confidence. I think a lot of singing requires a sense of inner confidence because you're on that stage and you're performing for all these people. And I think that's something that Joseph and I were talking about a little bit, is just like the confidence that you need to be a singer, because a lot of people tell you so many things, but you stick with your, you know.
Well, ultimately, you're the one up there doing it. Everyone can tell you what to do, but they are not the ones in front of the audience singing.
Exactly.
It requires a lot.
Now, this is you're returning. We're both part of the Marilla last summer. Is the audition process the same, or do you get advanced to the finals or something?
I actually went through the same process. I was fortunate to know Sherry Greenwald and Mark Morash from the summer previous, and so I told them that I would be auditioning again. But I spent the year in Cincinnati where I was finishing my master's degree, and so I drove to Chicago and auditioned there for them and went through the rounds of auditions and had to wait and hear. They really, even knowing you, they really want to be sure that they take the best talent that they can find. And so there was, to my knowledge, not really any sort of propulsion into the front of the line or anything like that. I had to kind of fight for it again.
Right. Well, you both mentioned that your teachers emphasized the importance of this particular program. Mm-hmm. Why does the Marilla carry such cachet? There must be other programs that have similar workshops, similar performance experiences. What makes this different?
I think it's the affiliation with San Francisco Opera. Also, you know, the coaches are very high level here. And I think it's just, San Francisco Opera is the big part of it, too. And there's many good programs and everything, but we just hear through the grapevine, like, this is the best program.
Mm-hmm. I think, absolutely. But I think this program, this focuses more on the individual artist. Yeah. I have a lot of friends at other very prestigious programs that are wonderful. And but, you know, they're doing a lot of work in the chorus and a lot of work kind of behind the scenes, and we really get to get on stage in these leading roles, and that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, I think, how you learn the best is in front of an audience, in front of an orchestra, and doing these major roles.
And you're well taken care of here as well, as expenses are taken care of, your housing.
Yes. So absolutely. Makes plus on that. Huge difference, yes.
Yeah. Now, Jacqueline, you're returning as an Adler Fellow.
Yes.
Now, for those unfamiliar with that program, tell us a little bit about what that means to be an Adler Fellow at the opera.
So the Adler Fellowship happens after you do, well, they call Marilla the 11-week audition, which no pressure. But at the end of the Marilla program, they invite, I don't know how many artists, but I think it's about like five and singers and one pianist maybe to be on their full 2-year fellowship program, which is an apprenticeship for the opera house. And we do, you know, role covers on the main stage. We do little cameo roles, small roles, compromarial roles, and really get to learn on the big house stage.
Very nice. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. That's fantastic. Now, Jacqueline, I also noticed something intriguing on your resume. What in heaven's name is aerial yoga?
Okay. Aerial yoga. Anti-gravity yoga, it's called. I actually took it up here last summer.
Really?
It's because yoga is a big thing in the West, I guess, right? And but aerial yoga is you're suspended from the air on this sheet of fabric that holds you up and you do yoga poses. It's very scary, but it's really good.
Sounds like an only in San Francisco experience, I'll tell you the truth. I don't think you're getting that much of that in Illinois.
No.
So what's your takeaway from the program? What did you learn that stands out over these past several weeks?
There are so many things to take away, and already in the past year after doing the program once, I've had sort of constant revelations of, oh, this is what this person was talking about, oh, this is what it means to do what, you know, someone has been urging me to do. And I think that'll last for the next, I mean, my entire career. I really think that you get so much information, it's almost impossible to process it all at once. So it's really something that will stick with me, I know, for a long, long time, working with these great coaches and teachers and artists and, you know, building connections with people and just getting your name out there and meeting wonderful colleagues. It's very important.
How about you, Jackie?
I think coming into this second year of Marilla, I think the difference between, you know, I did Arminda in Finta last summer, and just the approaching Mozart in a different way with this character, with Countess especially, it's a more mature Mozart. And I think that was a big challenge for me as an artist and a singer to really kind of trust my technique and everything and really just take what all the coaches have given me this summer.
Talking with Jacqueline Piccolino and Joseph Latanzi, who are starring in the La Nozze di Figaro as the Countess and Count, respectively. It'll be conducted by Jean Zhang, directed by Robin Guarino. Productions are tonight and Saturday afternoon. Marriage of Figaro, one of the most entertaining and memorable of all operas. What are your personal favorite moments in this incredible piece?
Oh, gosh.
There are so many, really. I mean, there are times when I'm on stage and I have to remember that I'm supposed to be playing this character because the music is just so beautiful. And there are times when I'm off stage and I wish I was on stage. You know, when everything, the ensemble writing in the show is the most incredible thing. I think about the Act 2 and Act 4 finales just go on for pages and pages and pages. And it's unbelievable how Mozart wove everything together. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the most difficult Mozart role. I've done a lot of Mozart roles. Mm-hmm. And this is the most difficult. Nothing is the same twice. You know, you sing one line and then it gets changed and altered and stuck in with other people. And it's just, it takes presence of mind the whole time, and it's so fun once you have everything together and all the pieces together. But you know, I think in the second act finale there are like eight people singing on stage at the same time. It's really great.
And with the Act 2 finale, I was thinking about this on stage yesterday. I was like, these parts of the show are actually so funny, like that I find myself breaking character and laughing on stage because it's so funny.
It must be hard to keep track of not only the Italian, but the acting that you're doing and then being in full costume probably just for the final two rehearsals.
Exactly.
It's got to be quite a challenge. Now, you're also participating. Is this with full orchestra, by the way?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, that's an experience in itself. Mm-hmm. You're also participating in the Merola Grand Finale and reception on Saturday the 17th at the Full Opera House. What are you singing for that performance?
I'm singing from Monteverdi's Il Ritorno d'Ulisse in Patria, Dormo Ancora, and... it's sort of a Ulysses soliloquy about waking up and not knowing whether he's awake or still dreaming. It's actually, I'm sort of nervous about it. It presents some unique challenges because it's only accompanied by continuo, which is just, we have the resources of the San Francisco Opera Orchestra, but I will not get to use any of them. So I'll be just... singing with harpsichord and I think maybe harp and guitar or something
cool.
like that.
Nice.
You're really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie?
I'm singing Luisa Miller from, or Verdi's Luisa Miller. And we're doing this Tu Punishimi. It's an aria into a duet with, I forget how to, Wurm, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. But I'm still researching the opera to find out what it's about. But it's my first Verdi. It'll be a challenge. I think it's my first Verdi role or whatever, half role or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I know from the past that you'll have a tremendously supportive audience in the house. It'll be a sellout. You'll really enjoy the response that people offer you for that performance on the 17th. Now, what else have you been doing over the summer? Has Merola been overwhelming you?
It is sort of overwhelming, and the days off, you know, I like to sleep pretty
in.
Late. But there are so many great things to do in San Francisco. I know Jackie and I both love the San Francisco food.
Nice.
Yes.
So we've been exploring that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you're both still in school, are there already roles coming up that you're looking forward to, or more auditions that you're anticipating?
It's more auditions, I think. In December is the audition season for opera singers. And so I have to go to New York and do really sing for anyone who will hear you and just sort of hope something.
Number two train uptown, 42nd Street platform.
Exactly. Sleeping on people's couches. Right.
How about you, Jack?
I will be here with San Francisco Opera and doing... Second Maid in Dolores Claiborne.
Very
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So,
Jackie was being modest earlier. She already made her San Francisco opera debut as Stella in Tales of Hoffman earlier this summer.
Yeah, we opened in June 5th and it ran till July.
Terrific
6th.
Production.
Yeah.
It's just a super thing to Thank see you. On stage. Yeah. Well, best wishes to both of you
Thank
for
you.
The rest of your stay in San Francisco.
Thank
and,
you.
And upon your return to studies in the Midwest this fall, Jackie, are you going back to school at the University of Illinois? You're giving that a little pause?
No, I just graduated actually in May, mm-hmm. so I'll be here the whole
Very nice.
2 years.
And Joseph, back to University of Cincinnati?
Back to Cincinnati, yes, College Conservatory of Music, starting a new degree program, the Artist Diploma program there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking some time with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Figaro performances tonight and Saturday afternoon will be at the Everett Auditorium at Everett Middle School, 450 Church Street here in San Francisco. For more information about the Merola program and remaining performances, not only of Figaro, but of the gala on the 17th, visit merolaopera.com. That's M-E-R-O-L-A opera.com. You can also get details at the San Francisco Opera website, sfopera.com. Thank you. The Overture to the Marriage of Figaro, Nicholas Harnoncourt, conducting the Concertgebouw Netherlands Opera Orchestra. You can hear Merula opera artists in performance tonight and Saturday afternoon in that opera, featuring John Arnold as Figaro, Maria Valdez as Susanna, as well as my previous guests, Joseph Latanzi and Jacqueline Piccolino. It will be sung in Italian with English supertitles, full orchestra, at the Everett Middle School Auditorium on Church Street. Details at merolaopera.com. That's MEROLA opera.com or sfopera.com. Good afternoon. I'm David Latulippe. You're tuned to KALW and listening to Open Air, our afternoon, weekly afternoon series of concert events and all things cultural around the Bay Area. I'm very pleased to welcome to the studios now a trio of distinguished performing artists to Open Air, who will be treating us to a live performance shortly of Debussy's Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp. Flutist Tara Helen O'Connor is a winner of an Avery Fisher Career Grant and founding member of the New Millennium Ensemble and a member of the Woodwind Quintet Windscape. On the East Coast, she is on the faculties of several music schools, including the Manhattan School of Music and SUNY Purchase. Paul Neubauer was the youngest principal string player in the history of the New York Philharmonic and has appeared with over 100 orchestras throughout the world and still counting. He's been featured also on CBS's Sunday Morning and A Prairie Home Companion. And Bridget Kibbe is also an Avery Fisher Career Grant recipient and was a winner of the Concert Artists Guild 2007 International Competition. Her debut solo album was named one of 2007's top 10 recordings by Time Out New York. Well, welcome to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, this festival is, you're no strangers to the music at Menlo Festivals. Now, are you all involved in the teaching aspect and the workshop programs as well as performing?
Yes, everybody who performs there pretty much is also working with the young musicians. And actually this year and last year, I have two children and they are taking part. So
it's sort
of fun to have my kids part of the whole Menlo experience, which is a very intense, amazing lessons, coachings, and lectures, and concerts, and they really get immersed in this incredible experience, so we're all happy to be part of it.
Very nice. And how many years have you been doing this, Paul?
Maybe six or seven. I don't know. I don't remember at this point.
And harpist Bridget Kibbe, how about you?
This is my second year at Menlo, and just as Paul said, Menlo is very special because the roles are quite liquid between senior artists and, you know, the young professionals and the young musicians. It's really lovely. We all get to coach and play for each other and attend master classes and perform together, so it's really a special place.
Very nice. And I can't quite see over there, Tara.
Hi.
We're on the corner of our Studio A, fantastic performing facility here. Tara, welcome to KALW.
Thank you. Also for me, 2 years at Menlo. It is incredible to see the amount of talent in these tiny children. I mean, they are extraordinary. And the age, they range in age from preteen to just over 20 or so. And I heard them this morning rehearsing Brandenburg Concerto, and it was astounding. It's a 14-year-old violinist playing solos. It's incredible.
Well, and then they're, of course, treated to the fantastic professional musicians that come in for these series of concerts. Now, overarching theme for music at Menlo this year is From Bach. And this concert program 6 is entitled French Connections, with works by Bach, Saint-Saëns, Marcel Tournier, César Franck, and Claude Debussy. Now, when I think of the music of Bach, Claude Debussy doesn't come to mind right off the top of my head. How is Bach woven into the program with Debussy and these other programs, or vice versa? Anyone want to tackle that one? Bridget seems anxious to talk.
Well, it's fun because Tara and I were actually discussing this in an interview for another station a few days ago, and we were actually really thinking about the connection between Debussy, Saint-Saëns, Tournier, who's a harpist himself, and Bach. And the thing that we kept coming back to was form, and the idea that they're either referring to Baroque form or pushing against it. And what's so interesting about Debussy is that he is, you know, of course, referring to some traditional sonata forms, but he departs from it. You know, of course, Baroque harmony in so many different ways, but there is definitely referencing in the Tournier suite you'll be hearing on the program as well, referring to these dance movements from Baroque suites.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think any composer was not influenced in some way by Bach. I mean, one has to give him that.
Right. I agree with you. And also the concept of counterpoint, layering counterpoint, motives, motivic development, harmony, it's all, you can trace it through all the centuries. It's amazing, and it all goes back to Bach, mm-hmm. really.
And how was this program selected? Did you have direct input in how the program was actually formed?
Actually, a lot of these programs were maybe conceived by Wuhan and David Finkel, and we're very, very thrilled to see how they piece these programs together. And some of us have performed these pieces together before, perhaps on the East Coast or other places. And so I think they just enjoyed the pieces and felt that it really connected.
And as a trio, have you performed this Debussy before together?
Well, I think we were talking about this because, you know, we've all played a piece like this so many times and with so many different people. And we realized we've all played this with each other, but not exactly the three of us together. So Bridget and I have played with various other flutists, and Tara and I have played with other harpists, and you've probably interviewed people who played the piece, too. They're totally different as well.
Right.
So
right.
it all is going to go around that there's going to be a different set of people, but we're all connected, so we've played it, you know, countless times. And I've played with Nancy Allen, who mm-hmm. Bridget yep, studied with, it. And... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've played with Nancy, so it's a never-ending cycle of this. And we all, of course, every group we played, and it's going to be a different experience, even if it's the same group of people. We're going to, every time we look at it, every time we play it, there's going to be this or that different color or different timing, which is why live music is best, I guess, because it's always, you're going to have that spontaneity, and it's great joy to work with these amazing players.
Likewise. Exactly.
Now, this is the first work ever written for this combination of instruments, viola, flute, and harp, which spawned hundreds of other composers to write similarly for this very ensemble. Are there favorites of this combination that stick out, or is the Debussy still the crème de la crème?
I have recently gotten to know David Bruce's new piece, Eye of the Night, and that is stunning. It's just a couple years old, this beautiful piece. And I also quite like the Takemitsu, and then I knew Twas Wind, which is really, really stunning. You can really hear the French influence in Takemitsu, and you can hear the Eastern approach to a Western type of writing. It's extraordinary.
Well, let's get to the piece that inspired it all. And this work was written, I'm going to let them reset their microphones while I give you a little background here. This work, written in 1915, was intended as being part of a set of six sonatas in various chamber combinations. It's the second in the series, whose total only reached three due to the composer's dying of cancer before completing the series, and so represents one of his final works. France is in the throes of war, the French victory being something that Debussy would never see. So I guess we can ascribe at least some of the depth that we hear in this work to those circumstances. Debussy himself wrote to a friend that the work is terribly melancholy. Should one laugh or cry? Perhaps both at the same time. I like to think of introspective rather than melancholy myself. Now, as the performers do a little final tune-up, I'll just mention that the work is in three movements. Pastoral starts off in a lento, dolce, rubato tempo. There's an interlude that is a tempo diminuetto, and finally a finale, allegro moderato ma risoluto. Once again, here is Taryn Helen O'Connor on flute, Paul Neubauer, viola, and harpist Bridget Kibbe with the sonata for flute, viola, and harp. Music of Claude Debussy here on KLW.
Thank you.
flutist Helen O'Connor, Helen O'Connor, violist Paul Neubauer, and Bridget Kibbe on harp for a live performance here in the KLW studios of Claude Debussy's Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp. Thank you so much for that performance. Sounds stunning.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. And this piece can be heard as part of the sixth program of Music at Menlo called French Connections. That's tomorrow evening at the Stent Family Hall at the Menlo School, and Saturday evening. Also on the program, music of Johann Sebastian Bach, Camille Saint-Saëns, the Debussy Sonata, which we just heard, Marcel Tournier's Suite for Flute, Violin, Viola, Cello, and Harp, as well as César Franck's Piano Quintet. It's Music at Menlo. More information at musicatmenlo.org. Wow, a rare live performance here at KLW Studios. Let's hope we can do them once again. I'm David LaTulipe. You're listening to Open Air on KALW. And as a first of the month feature, we have critic Joshua Cosman on hand to let us know what's coming up on the month ahead in the world of classical music. Well, now we've got the microphone switched around, and I think we have Joshua live in studio.
Yeah, for all the good it's going to do us, because I'm left speechless by that performance. That was lovely. Thank you so much for that. That was wonderful. I wish I could be there to hear it this weekend. I, however, will be spending the weekend in Santa Cruz at the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music, as I always do, at the beginning of August. This is a longtime staple of the summer season around here, this time with an unfortunate twist in that music director Maren Alsop hurt her wrist earlier this summer, and so she had to bow out of this performance and various other ones that she had. She's going to be replaced this summer by two very skilled and well-known conductors of contemporary music. The first weekend of the festival, this weekend, which is starting Friday night and running through Sunday, Carolyn Kwan is going to be there. She is the music director of the Hartford Symphony now, but she was for a long time associated with the festival as an associate music director, and she kind of, as she says, got her start there working with Maren, alongside Maren, and learning her various chops. So she's going to be on hand for the first weekend. And then the second weekend, it's going to be Brad Ludman, a well-known name in contemporary music. He's going to conduct the orchestra there the second weekend. It's the usual terrific lineup of new music. There's going to be a world premiere by Kevin Putz. That'll be a flute concerto written for Adam Walker, a world premiere by a composer named Sean Fryer, whom I do not know, but I'm sure is going to have something interesting to say. And a variety of music by people that have been, many of whom have been regular figures at the festival, including Andrew Norman, Derek Bermel, Philip Glass, Anna Klein, and so on and so forth. Derek Bermel, I should say, is going to be helping out on the conducting front because he's not only a composer but a clarinetist and a conductor, and he's going to be spelling Carolyn Kwan this weekend to conduct his piece Dust Dances. I brought in a little bit of music by Derek Bermel. I thought we would listen to the beginning of Hot Zone, which is number 7. This is a piece of by Derek Bermel that is inspired by and influenced by his studying of Ghanaian keyboard music.
Music of Derek Bermel. Thank you. That's music of Derek Bermel, who you can hear as part of the Cabrillo Music Festival in the weeks ahead, cabrillomusic.org. A pick of Joshua Cosman, who's here with me to talk to me a little bit more about what's coming up in August.
Well, another thing, of course, that's coming up, which you covered very well at the top of the hour, I was going to come in and make a big play for the Marilla Opera Program and their productions of Marriage of Figaro starting tonight, and then the grand finale concert on the 17th, but you have covered that adequately. So let me also put in a plug for the San Francisco Choral Society, which is going to be performing Haydn's great oratorio, The Seasons, on August 17th and 18th at Calvary Presbyterian Church. This is a really strong local chorus that draws a lot on professionals and also community singers, and they've got a terrific lineup of soloists. Vocal soloist soprano Marcel Dronkers, baritone Eugene Brancovianu, and tenor Brian Thorsett will be handling the solo honors, and the chorus will be singing that. That will be, as I say, the 17th and 18th. The website for that is sfchoral.something. I just had it. Sorry. sfchoral.org.
There we go.
And learn from my mistakes. That's the San Francisco Choral Society, not the San Francisco Choral Singers, which is a different organization entirely. Also coming up this weekend, and this month, I should say, is a performance at Old First Church by someone we all know and love. That is pianist Sarah Cahill. KALW, celebrity and a terrific pianist. She's got a program of new music by Samuel Carl Adams, Anne Southam, a new piece by Shinji Eshima, who will be in attendance for the concert, and also music by Henry Cowell, who Sarah has championed very strongly and very persuasively, I think, over the years. That is on
tomorrow
night. Thank you. At Old First Church on Sacramento Street in San Francisco.
OldFirstConcerts.org. Do go hear that. Sarah Cahill, our host of Revolutions Per Minute, her new name for then and now. I love it.
It's good, isn't
it? She's an extraordinary pianist, too. And if you haven't seen her live, a work by a friend of mine, Shinji Eshima, too, that has done work for the San Francisco Opera and Ballet, mm-hmm. It's tremendous.
What do you know about this piece called Delta 88?
I don't know a thing other than the 88 comes from the number of keys on the piano.
Do you know that to be true, or are you just making that deduction based on your big brain?
I know that.
Okay.
I know that for a fact. That's the only fact I know about it.
Good, good. All right. Well, so August, as we say, is always a little bit of a slim pickings month. We've got the Cabrillo Festival and the Marilla program, and then we kind of all go to the beach and listen to music on our headphones.
Indeed. Well, let's hear a little bit of more music of Derek Bermel as we go out tonight. Here's you mentioned he's a clarinetist. Here's him performing from his CD, Canzones Americanas, his second movement with clarinet. Joshua, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us today.
It was an August-sized bite. It was good.
The expurgated version of
exactly.
Joshua Cosman for August. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Music of Derek Bermel. You can hear him at the Cabrillo Music Festival, cabrillomusic.org, to hear more about the rest of that wonderful festival. Thanks again to all the guests that paraded through today for this week's edition of KALW's Open Air. I've been your host, David LaTulip. A reminder that you can hear the show anytime, as well as any of our past shows, at our website, kalw.org. I'd love to hear your comments about the show and suggestions for future guests. Send me an email, david@kalw.org. This is your local public radio station, KALW San Francisco, where an hour of news from the BBC is next. The time is 2 o'clock.